Yankees baseball is on. WFAN, WFAN FM, WFAN HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
It's Evan and Tiki on the Fan. Sean Morash, Chris McMonagle with you, taking you up until Yankees pregame ahead of the Yankees-Red Sox series that will begin 6:25 pre. All right, so if you're just jumping in the car, the trade deadline is heating up hot and heavy. Started last night, A.J. Puck getting traded to the Diamondbacks. Randy Orozarena got traded. The Mariners keep adding. Yimi Garcia just got traded there to add to the bullpen arms. We keep seeing two bullpen arms go off the board. But yep. The Baltimore Orioles, the Yankees, arguably their biggest competitor in the American League, if you want to get further, we can start with division, then we can go American League. Their biggest issue, rotation. And within the division, they have added Zach Eflin for three prospects. Rosenberg looked it up. Look, the names are kind of irrelevant right now. Their 10th best prospect in the Orioles system and 17th best prospect in the system, just to kind of give you an idea of what it will take. Now, not everybody's 10th and 17th is created equal.
Right.
But the Orioles do get help in the rotation. Though, if you're a Yankee fan, I mean, we're going to hang on to positivity. Eflin's worst start of the year came two starts ago when he faced the New York Yankees.
Right.
So, what was that, Thursday night, Friday night, last week, whatever it is. But either way, the Orioles are adding. The Mariners are adding. The Diamondbacks, although that doesn't affect the Yankees, they added a bullpen arm the Yankees could have their eye on. The trade deadline is Tuesday, and like we have seen the last couple of years in Major League Baseball, the deadline day is the end of it. It's not the start of it.
Right.
And my big issue is that Brian Cashman sometimes treats that day like the start of it.
Mm-hmm.
And look, time to get going. So will the Yankees make a deal this weekend? We don't know, but the Orioles have struck and the Yankees have some holes to fill.
No doubt. I mean, the Orioles jump out again. I look at it two different ways. Like, yes, it helps the Orioles, and that is a negative thing against the Yankees, but I'm so focused on the Yankees getting better. I don't view that trade much like I didn't view the Randy Orozarena. Much like that, I mean, yes, it helped Seattle, but I'd never thought of him as a Yankee target.
No.
I still...
Both arms in the bullpen are just ones to keep an eye on, because
right.
whatever bullpen arms go,
right.
I'm just so focused
on the Yankees getting better that I'm not concerned yet with what the Orioles are doing. So it's like, it doesn't make me feel any worse necessarily. It's like, oh, the Orioles are out there making moves. We knew they were going to make moves. Like, if anybody would have thought the Orioles were just going to stand pat and not help their rotation, you're nuts. Of course they're going to make moves. So their move came first.
Yeah,
but your point, it's open for business. He's got to go out there now. I'm totally with you. But I'm not at the point where these moves, like I'm getting tweet after tweet, you know, and messages like, wake up, Brian Cashman.
Eflin would have felt underwhelming to the Yankees, because that's why he's not even hard, because he's not going to fix their rotation.
So they made moves you know they're going to make. They made them first. The Yankees still have to go out there and make moves.
The Orioles made their move. I think the issue is we all expect the Orioles to make moves and be really on, especially with their prospect pool.
Correct.
So let's see. Let's see.
So, but that's my point. I can't get hung up on when they make this move. I knew it was coming. I knew they were going to make rotation pieces.
Last week, before we get to Cinco and your calls, 888-808-1019, Brian Cashman, you know, it was more Aaron Boone, said that Stanton was really close, may not need rehab games. To the point, I thought he'd be either in a lot of Subway Series or tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Then it got pushed. Maybe a little longer. Now I'm in full conspiracy mode. That Stanton is coming back Wednesday, the day after the deadline, for that spin of he's as good as a deadline.
Oh, come on.
Cashman lining it up.
They know nobody's going to buy. They might say it, but they're not lining it up to try
Watch.
And... No.
That's my new prediction. Wednesday will be Giancarlo Stanton's return.
I don't think you're wrong that those words would be said. Not necessarily it's the same as a trade, but the idea of this helps us. We have guys coming back, like trying to portray it fine. They know nobody's going to buy it. They're not waiting on Stanton to try and sell that to you. They could sell it to you the day after anyway. It's like they need to wait for Wednesday if Stanton...
Some will buy, Chris. Yeah, some will buy it.
All right, but they can't have Stanton in the lineup against Boston and then still say it on Wednesday? That Stanton back helps
sure
us?
Sure they can.
Well, then why would
they
wait?
But the optics
would
be that way.
You tell. Okay.
I'll bet you right now Wednesday.
Okay. We'll bet.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what we're going to bet.
I don't know. Whatever you can come up with.
Maybe this fall, one day, you could pick any day you want. We trade shifts.
Okay, I suppose.
You get a daytime afternoon.
Right,
spot.
I mean,
you have to be the third voice on
the
show.
But what do you get if you get to what if you win?
I'll have to do an overnight.
If you win.
Oh, if I win?
Sean.
Like, there has to be a part that you benefit from. Unless you want to consider that a benefit, then we'll just switch shifts no matter what. There's got to be like...
I don't know. I got to think about this. I'm having a lot of bad ideas.
Why don't you put a baked potato on it?
Yeah, I'm just saying. Like, that's my angle is that. What's your angle? What do you get?
I don't know. Let me think about it. Here we go. Cinco de Five-O.
Cinco de Five-O with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Five-O is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere. And by Wendy's. Try the new pretzel baconator today. And if you're feeling spicy, a baked potato, too. All right. The opening ceremonies are either still going on, about to go on, and then you could relive them tonight in prime time. The Olympics have begun, so our next 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, will be filled with Peacock, USA, every sport you can imagine. Everywhere you look, wake up, you'll have Olympics on. So I'm going to give you, to me, my five favorite Summer Olympic sports, Chris, okay?
I'm excited.
Here we go.
Here we go. Here we go.
Number five.
Basketball. Let out basketball. Number five for
number
me.
Number five.
Should be higher.
Right.
Because I just don't like the lack of competition.
I think we've seen more competition.
We're winning gold in men's.
Well, I'm just saying it's not the days of the dream team. Saying it the other day. The dream team played 9 NBA players. This team is playing 60 some odd NBA players.
It's different. I get that it's different. Ultimately, though.
Yeah.
We're going to close our eyes and go to a gold medal.
Well, the reason for me that it would either be fifth or even not on the list is the novelty of other Olympic sports. Basketball we watch every day. Like the idea of an Olympic sport, you want to talk about Olympic sports that you don't get to usually watch, as opposed to basketball that we watch the Knicks and Nets here in this town play 82 games each.
Okay, that's fair. All right, here we go.
Number four.
The canoe slalom. Now, why I like this, I'm a big kayak guy in general.
Really?
Oh,
have you been kayaking?
All the time.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm a water guy, man. I'm a water rat.
I
love
that.
It. The canoe slalom, so you're going like down basically a river rapids, and it reminds me of like a Six Flags ride. And you're watching these people. Picture the bobsled on water.
Right.
That's what you get. I like a canoe slalom. It's appetizing to the eyes.
I can see that.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
Number three.
Here we went. Yeah. Number three, badminton.
Love badminton.
Okay, it was pickleball before pickleball was pickleball.
That's a great
all
line.
Right?
A good line.
We had the rackets. We had the small little, what do you call it thing?
Shuttlecock.
A shuttlecock.
You don't have to yell the second syllable.
No, I'm sorry. I forgot
the second part of the word.
When I said to you, what's it called? I literally forgot what it was called.
It's a shuttlecock.
A shuttlecock.
Mm-hmm.
That thing, let's face it, it was before we were hitting paddles with wiffle balls, what we call pickleball.
No, when we were kids, that was like the one of the games you played in gym.
And that's the beauty of it. A game that anybody can play and be good at, and knowing that people can compete at that in the Olympics, I think jumps it up to the
top. And not only that, you watch them play, and it's amazing how fast they send that shuttlecock back and forth.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
They shuttle it.
Right, I guess that's why they call it
And you know what the best part of this is?
What's that?
Nobody in the Olympics is bad. Mitten.
Number two.
3-on-3 basketball, because again, this reminds me of me playing in the driveway.
They have 3-on-3 basketball in the Olympics?
Do. Jimmy Fredette's a coach.
Really?
Jimmer Fredette.
Jimmer Fredette of the USA team?
Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, 3-on-3 basketball.
That's
love
interesting.
It. Here we go.
Number one.
Undeniable to me. The one that will get me to sit down and watch full, not like I'm just tuning in, water polo. Love it.
Yeah.
Absolutely love it. The idea that you're treading water for that long, the strength it takes. I love water polo.
Yeah, I can see that. I agree. I respect the athleticism and endurance it takes to just constantly be in a pool swimming. Yeah, I can see that. Those are good. I have to be honest. I think I'm more of a Winter Olympics guy.
I am too.
I think figure skating.
The hockey's better than the basketball.
Yes. And for whatever reason, figure skating becomes the big thing of the Olympics, and everybody gets into it.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
What?
Oh, my God.
You're going to hug me for that?
Yes.
Okay, bring it in here. Oh, and a kiss.
I thought I was the only guy around here who loves figure skating.
Well, I don't know if I love it, but in the Winter Olympics, you get into the figure skating, no doubt.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Oh, the pageantry behind it.
The pageantry.
I can't believe you just said that loud. I've been dying to tell people I love figure skating.
Okay. I didn't know it was such a niche thing. I think that's like...
Scott Hamilton, Brian Boitano.
Yeah,
dude,
I mean, those are the names.
Beautiful.
It's impressive. It's unique to the Olympics, at least for me. I don't spend any other time the rest of the year watching figure skating. And listen, we grew up, and I hate to say this, but Tonya Harding and Nancy Kerrigan kind of like created the buzz around it. And for me, at least as a kid, and it was like, what's this? And then you watch it, it's always been the Winter Olympics for me. Plus, I get into curling. more than anything in the Summer Olympics. I'm much more of a Winter Olympic guy.
Yeah, I love it. I absolutely love it. Yeah, I don't like the track and field.
I don't get hung up on. Yeah,
swimming's kind of cool because I swim, but track and field, I don't.
Right,
really
and
run
if you have a great swimmer like Mark Spitz or obviously. I'm losing my mind.
Michael Phelps,
who are dominating the games, then swimming does become.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We'll get into some of these other sports in about an hour from now, leading into Yankees pregame, get Chris's thoughts, but we do have to probably get to more important things on the phone calls.
Which, by the way, I don't want to say breaking news, that's not accurate, but Brian Hoke is reporting Yankees hope to activate Giancarlo Stanton Monday in Philadelphia.
All right, so I was already off
so
on Wednesday.
So there goes that. Well, listen, they're planning.
Not to be a jerk.
It hasn't happened yet, but they're planning.
Can I say something everybody's thinking if Brian Hoke's report's accurate?
Mm-hmm.
Which games are more important right now?
Oh, no doubt.
If he's ready to come back and be activated Monday.
I know.
He can't play one of these games versus Boston?
I don't think you're wrong, but I mean, you could play that game forever. Like, you know, if he can't come back in Philadelphia, he can't come back in Boston. If he comes back in Boston, he can't come back tonight. If he can't come back tonight, he wasn't available for the Mets series. Oh, he wasn't available for the Mets series. He couldn't have been available. Like, you could play that game forever. They're going to give him some time. He's showing up in Philadelphia.
I don't want to nitpick every single Yankee move. I'm just saying.
I agree.
Like, the lineup perfect example.
Right. If you play Monday,
he's really not ready tonight. Like, think about
at least Sunday night, you know.
And because you know he's going to struggle anyway. The emotional, I think, forget what the team's going to feel. The fans would feel off that loss to the Mets.
Yeah.
To have a day off and go, okay, Giancarlo's back, Boston, let's go.
Yeah.
And by the way, at ballpark, he rakes in Fenway.
No doubt, yeah.
So that's it. I might be nitpicking.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. I just think you could play that game if you wanted to forever.
888-808-1019. Rob and Edison. Rob, what's up?
Hey, guys. What's up? Hey, C-Mac.
Yes, sir.
So I'm the guy who sent the tweet about the Yankees in the 80s. I just want to clarify. I wasn't trying to argue about George Steinbrenner. I wasn't trying to argue about the George Steinbrenner era. Uh-huh. I was just responding. I was responding because you said the Yankees were terrible from 79 to 91.
I didn't mean it. I said that they went through that many coaches, and by the end, they were terrible. The early 90s, and it didn't help them. They weren't terrible. Won a lot of games. Okay. I'll take that back, because obviously they did win a lot of games. Terrible is a bit strong. But it didn't help them.
Yeah.
And then by the end, when they're firing, go back and on Peacock, there's a documentary. I think Joel Sherman is the driving force behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Go back and watch the 1990 Yankee documentary.
Great doc.
And see what the era of George Steinbrenner led to in the early 90s. Okay, because
we might be frustrated
with what the Yankees have done over the last handful of years. I'm sorry, I'm so used to cutting off the callers myself, and I'm going to.
You could have.
Yeah, okay. We can complain about what the Yankees are now. The ineptitude they hit in the early 90s is so far from where we are now. It's or where we've been for the last 25 years that it's just that's what it is for me. When people want to know why I'm a little bit of a Brian Cashman defender, here's the thing. Right now, I am sick to my stomach watching this team play.
Mm-hmm.
And watching the way they've been 10 games on the 500, only the Chicago White Sox are worse. Watching this brand of baseball right now makes me sick to my stomach. And for 26 years, Brian Cashman, you want to say payroll, whatever reason, Brian Cashman has helped me avoid this pit in the bottom of my stomach better than any other team I root for, better than almost any other team in professional sports. I never feel like this for 25 years. I'm feeling like it now. And if he doesn't fix it, then it's time to go. But I never feel like this.
All right,
so that's
Chris.
Why I kind of give them the benefit of the doubt when other people are still mad. I get it. But we never feel like this as Yankee fans. The Mets feel like this every other year.
No doubt. And I have a friend who feels the same way as you, and I argue with him about this all the time.
Yeah.
Do I think Brian Cashman is the worst GM that's ever walked the planet? I do not.
Right.
Do I think that, and this is the case in all sports, I felt this way about Tom Coughlin as a coach. I even felt this way about Joe Torre as a manager.
Yeah.
Where at some point, you've been there so long.
Agreed.
Maybe it's not a total success in the changeover, and that's always the fear.
Right.
Do you just need a changeover in a voice and approach? I think we're
more
way past that with Brian Cashman.
More than fair.
And then I would further say this. Baseball is the one sport that we have out of the four major that we will follow and that we talk about here. And I just put this in a vacuum. I understand that you can't change the rules of the sport. If Major League Baseball was structured like the NFL or the NBA with a hard salary cap, okay, where money wasn't the overpower like the Yankees had, the Dodgers, Mets, Red Sox follow through.
Right.
Do I think Brian Cashman would be running a franchise where we constantly were a playoff team? If every team was spending the same amount of money every year? I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, listen,
because this development of starting pitchers that would lead me to say that too many mistakes would have been made.
No, I understand that. I understand. But he would also do things differently. I just like he can't, like, we talk about the 22 deadline, right? Montas has a shoulder injury. We're not sure about it. He can't stand Pat because you got dopes like us screaming at the top of our lungs. Where the hell are you, Cashman? So he's got it. Like, there are different things. They can't
but
be.
But you shouldn't also.
They can't be where the Rays are today. Two games under 500, or even less than better than that, right in the mix of things, and trade away Randy Arozarena, look to be trading Diaz, trade away a starting pitcher. They can't do that.
But they're
the Yankees can't do that.
But that's the other end of the spectrum where they don't spend enough. If they had to spend the right amount, would I trust the way their organizations run? Look, man, overall, there's some truth to what you say always, but it comes to a point where enough of the excuses. That's all.
And I said it last year. The argument of time to move on is more than fair.
Yeah.
And if they have another miserable season, if they don't make the playoffs, if they lose in the first round, if they in the wild card series or the ALDS, I don't know how you keep them.
Yeah.
Totally fair.
Well, we'll see.
But let's see. Come on, Brian. Let's go.
And Brian Cashman has told the Yankee fans, without saying it verbally, your big trade deadline acquisition will be here Monday. Sean Carlos Stanton returns.
They were pretty good.
All right.
Lucas in the Bronx. Lucas, what's up?
What's going on, guys? Big Yankee fan. Here's what I got. So there's black holes everywhere on this offense.
Mm-hmm.
Third base, left field. I know Glaber's on an uptick, but second base and first base as well.
Yeah.
Is the Yankee tax with trades? What are we getting? We don't have enough to get.
I'm tired of hearing about the Yankee tax.
Well, listen, they're gonna on some level, yeah. Does Verdugo and Torres need to be better? Yeah, of course. If they're not going to be better, it doesn't matter. And I'll tell you something else. They can make all the great moves and win every game between now and the playoffs. If Aaron Judge goes 1-for-22 in a playoff series, not going to win. So, there's just the guys who are here have to perform better. Verdugo should not be a black hole. Why is he? Like, Torres had an 800 OPS last year. Why is he garbage this year? Like, they have to figure that out. That's part of it. But there are moves to be made that can bolster this team on some level. You add Stanton. Because, like I'm saying, do you know who leads the American League in runs scored?
The Yankees.
The New York Yankees. Yeah. Has the team changed in any significant way?
Well, they've changed in the worst by losing
guys. Right, well, I'm saying,
like,
are the players any different?
Some of them.
Who? I mean, no, but I'm saying this team, right, without Stanton, it's pretty much that's it.
And Rizzo.
But
I know he struggled earlier in the year.
Right, but I'm just saying, like, it's the same team that built up such a lead in runs scored that they could be miserable for a month plus and still have the most runs in the American League. So,
but and I know that we're probably somewhere in the middle, but now we learn they probably played over their head to pad all of that, too.
But I'm saying, so those players need to get back to closer to what they were when they were scoring more runs than anybody to such a level that they could be the worst team in baseball for a month and a half and still lead.
Baseball's a roller coaster, I believe. Mid-August, the Yankees' schedule softens up a little bit. I think they're going to go on a little bit of a run and bounce back, and I think there will be a different roster, and Dominguez and Stanton will be here, and we'll probably be pumping our chest again and being really annoying like the Mets fans right now. But, ultimately, what we've seen for the last 2 months tells us in any series in October, we could see a glimpse of that and scares the heck out of me.
Of course. No doubt. They need to be better postseason performance. That's my point. Judge needs to perform.
Yeah.
Why, you look at the Rangers. The Rangers were a wild card team. The year before, they lost 100 games.
Mm-hmm.
They're a wild card team. They blow the division at the end of the year. The bullpen's atrocious. They allow the Astros at the end of the year. They can't win three games against, I think it was the Angels at the end of the year.
Yeah, and they rallied.
They're terrible. You know what happened? Seager went freaking nuts.
Yeah.
Your best player has to perform.
But
that's it.
But isn't that what's scary, though?
Yes.
The best player has been performing over the last, I know he had a little bit of a skid over the last 8 weeks, and the Yankees have also been abysmal. That's what's scary.
I know, but you mentioned the playoff series. He wasn't their best player in the Astros in 19. He wasn't their best player in the Astros in 2022.
But if when he's going on a tear and Soto's going
and
on a tear.
Losing.
And they're still losing.
That's a problem.
That's a problem.
I agree.
Brett on Long Island. Brett, what's up?
Yeah, this is for the host, Chris McGonigal.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Brett. How are you? Good to talk to you in the daylight.
Yeah. I just want to say that if George was here, I'm telling you right now, guys like Donaldson, Hicks, LeMahieu, Cashman would not be here.
True.
Boone wouldn't be. I don't care what you say. Trevino wouldn't have been catching half the season.
Mm-hmm.
So you can say what you want, Chris, but there is a difference in ownership.
No, how could I disagree with anything you just said? But the argument is prove to me that means winning. That's what I'm saying. Prove to me that means winning. Because all those managerial changes that he made and all the changes that he made and the insisting on trading all their young players for aging veterans, how'd it go for them? He didn't become George Steinbrenner, that one, until he was banished and Gene Stickmichael and assistant GM Brian Cashman built the core of the New York Yankees that went on to become a dynasty. That's all I'm saying. Up until then, it was a disaster. And if you watch that documentary, the entire Yankee Stadium stood and rose and applauded.
Yeah.
When the word came down that he was banished.
Which is they so funny.
Before you stood and cheered.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. It doesn't mean everything he just said was right. All of those things would have happened. Doesn't mean they would have won.
Ozzie and Woodridge. Oz, what's up?
What's up, fellas?
What's up?
How's it going?
Good, how are you? Oz, what's up? No Loogie here, so I get you up here. What's going on?
All right, good. You're my guy, bro. You're my guy.
What's up?
Happy Friday, fellas. Have a great weekend.
That's it.
Thank you. You too.
Yeah, you're welcome. Everyone, a couple callers said watching on SNY, they're getting flashbacks of the old afternoon drive show.
A little bit, to see me again, yeah.
Yeah, I'm getting flashbacks of when my kids were growing up, watching the Teletubbies on TV. This kind of vibe I'm getting from you two right now.
The Teletubbies?
So that's you're saying we look like Teletubbies. That's the joke there?
Yeah, and McMonagle.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. You've written out better.
Yeah, I know. Which Teletubby had such a devastatingly handsome mustache? I'd like to know.
The red one.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
I guess I'm
McMonagle, the red
I'm sorry?
Do yourself a favor. Get on that Peloton kick like Flacco Moraes.
Yeah, you're on the Peloton kick?
Love the Peloton.
Nice.
Dude. And I could eat whatever non-meats I want.
Any non-meats? What does that mean?
Because you're doing the keto.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah. I Peloton, I go right to Mr. Stolte, I say, sup.
There you go. Got to work on it.
What's up?
I'm addicted to Pilates like the Giants head coach.
Pete Pilates?
Oh, that's a sight.
I knew you were going to say that. Yep.
That is a sight.
Hey, listen, you could say whatever you want. All right? I am gorgeous. Okay? And I will lead us to the Peloton success and Pilates and everything else. Okay? Just leave me alone. All right? Leave me alone. On television, the face is a lot rounder. All right? Come see me in person. And you'll be impressed with how indelibly beautiful this sexy round face is.
Oh, they'll be pressed when you fall on them.
Yeah.
What's up, Ozzy?
Not just the face is round. Kind of filling up that console. And
you got it, Ozzy.
Moraes, slim down Moraes, you look twice as big.
Yeah, that's good. Okay. Yeah, he's making me look big.
Yeah.
Anything else besides making fun of my weight? I didn't know Boomer Esiason was on the phone. Anybody else chime in?
Before I get to Judge and how he's possibly going to go into a big slump after still staring at Jake's big Diekman. He's already hitless since then. But McMonagle, you multiply phone numbers?
Yeah, when I'm bored sometimes.
Yeah, multiply phone numbers. Yeah.
No, and his multiplication is his whole 20s. He multiplies all the numbers he got from girls, so it adds up to zero.
Okay, very good. I'm an excellent driver. Yeah.
All right.
Rayman reference?
No one cares, Ozzy.
Whatever you judge.
I have no idea what Ozzy just did. I guess he's not a fan. I have no idea.
If you want to hear the next 7 minutes of the call Ozzy was going to make, you could probably hear him Sunday when I'm on the air 3 to 6:25.
Okay.
I'm sure he'll call back.
He will.
A little more runway there. Okay, this is the afternoon drive. Okay? Woody in Plattsburgh beat you today on a phone call, and that's okay. That's okay.
Sit one out, bud.
Sit one out. We'll continue to take your phone calls, Yankees, Mets, exterminators on bee stings, and everything else.
I made it through. My hand swelled up like a balloon.
You know what? Real quickly, Mike in East Rockaway. Mike, what's up?
Mike, you there? Yes.
Yeah. It's Mike. Hi, how are you?
What's up, Mike?
Good, how are you?
It's not a bee sting, that's a yellow jacket sting.
Okay, yeah. I'm. What makes you so sure of that?
Because I'm an exterminator.
Well, I mean, I know, but I haven't given you any information. All I said was I was stung by a bee, and you're telling me it's a yellow jacket. How do you know, just because they make the nest, bees don't?
Well, yellow jackets are very aggressive, and if you have the hose reel and it's facing the sun, either on the east or west side of the house, they're going to get a lot of heat, and they're going to build a nest there.
Yeah.
And if you don't use the hose too often, they're going to be comfortable. Listen, I got stung a million times in my life. I got stung 15 times in a chest by hornets. at my ex-wife's house.
Oh, my God.
Jeez. Did she sick them on you?
Yeah, no.
Well, I was hedging the trims, you know, what an electric hedger.
You're trimming the hedges.
At your ex-wife's house.
Yeah.
And Hornets came after you.
Yeah, well, you know, what are you going to do?
I don't know what the hell we're going to do.
I went to the house, and I pulled off my T-shirt, and she was like, what happened to you? There's like 15 marks across my chest. I'm like, I got stung by bees. She's like, what are you going to do? I'm like, I'm going to go out to my truck and pull out an arsenal of chemical and kill them.
What a man, Mike. What a man. A man's man.
Back to back, Corey Coles. But no joke. I got stung right here. I still see a little bit of the scab there. My hand swelled up like a balloon. I could not believe I had balloon hand.
I'm sorry. His solution to 15 hornet stings to the chest, which are near the heart, was, honey, I'm going out to my truck and get chemicals. I'm going to kill these.
I'm going to kill them all.
Yeah.
You mess with, but first, I thought.
Yeah, then I'm going to drop dead like Stand By Me. Or My Girl. Whatever the stupid movie.
I thought that the bees die when they sting you. Don't they? Don't the stingers get left in and then they die?
That's what they say. Right. It's a heck of a way to go out.
Right.
Yeah.
I killed a couple bees.
Yeah.
All right. That's how I'm going to look at it. Right. I didn't need no chemicals.
You didn't need no chemicals.
I need no chemicals.
Next time you reach in there, wear a yellow jacket. Evan and Tiki on the Fan. Mets fans in the car right now heading to Citi Field. First of all, fireworks night.
Yeah.
I think one of like 15 for them, but good for them. Evan Roberts and family will be in attendance. Don't get those sensual eyes on me, Christopher Monica.
I mean, you gave me a nice little kiss on the head. I'm kind of feeling a little frisky.
Okay.
Plus, I had to defend myself and how sexy I am. I'm just feeling good, you know.
Chris McMonagle, hard hat guy, worked the overnight, is here back on afternoon drive.
Yes.
Just how we like it. And it's martini night for you.
It is Friday night martini night, no question. I love my martinis.
My wife's into the blue cheese olives right now in a martini.
You ain't kidding. She knows what she's talking about. You got to have blue cheese olives if you can. Sometimes I don't bother with it, to be honest with you, because I make my own.
You make your own blue cheese olives?
Correct. Well, I don't make the olives, but like my father gives me I stuff the olives myself.
My wife, Danielle, she's been trying to do that.
Yeah.
That's her like next project.
My father-in-law used to be a chef, but he still likes to cook and has all stuff. He'll give me He has all his stuff.
He has the pots and pans.
He still has the card to get into Restaurant Depot. So he'll give me like a big container of blue cheese crumble.
Yeah.
And so I get the olives and I make my own stuffed olives.
You want a little spoiler alert?
Yeah.
Anybody can get
that. No, I know. I'm sure. Yeah, I know.
My father-in-law never worked a day in the restaurant business. Walks into Restaurant Depot every time. Tommy, P.F. Chang's.
Yeah.
They ride him right through.
Tommy P. What was that?
He just says his name. His name's Tommy. And he says he's with P.F. Chang's and he walks in.
Oh, he just says Tommy. I'm with
P.F. they always
Chang's,
give you that day pass.
Yeah.
So your father-in-law's not special. Just letting you know. Neither's mine.
Well, I didn't make it. I'm just saying. You know, it was just a way to say that's where he shops.
You in on the craze of espresso martinis?
No. Not as much. I like them. Don't get me wrong. But I'm a very simple.
What's going on with that?
Dirty martini guy. I love them dirty.
Yeah. So. I prefer them a little clean, but yeah. Mm-hmm. No doubt about it. You didn't like that one.
You know, because it was so stupid. Only because it was so stupid.
All
right. But, I mean, do you know what dirty means?
Yeah.
Okay. What is a dirty? What would be, if you ordered a martini, like me and you walk up to a bar. Uh-huh. You order a martini. I say, I'll have a dirty martini.
Just realized
Do you know what the dirtiness, do you know what the difference is between a martini and a dirty martini?
No ice.
Okay. No. I'm telling you right now. If I order a martini and they ask me, do you want it on the rocks? I walk out.
Big shot. All right.
I don't even follow up with no, obviously not. No, you don't have martinis with ice.
All right.
You make them with ice. Olive juice. Ugh. Extra olive juice. Ugh. Make it a little even more briny.
I don't like olive juice.
Oh, I love it. I get my own olive juice. I ordered it on Amazon.
Your own olive juice on Amazon?
Yep.
Your father-in-law's making...
I'm tired of having jars of olives in the fridge because I, without question, use more of the olive juice than I do the olives, and then I have all these dry olives in my refrigerator.
I gotta be honest with you.
So you get your own olive juice.
I love my wife.
Yeah.
But
mm-hmm.
every day I go home, there's a new package on the
stove. Sure.
And she flat out tells you don't even want to know what this is.
Right, exactly.
And I'll look up, something's changed in the house, whatever.
Yeah.
If I came home and had to carry a package in and it was like 15 gallons worth of olive juice.
Well, it's not 15 gallons. I buy a little like three.
I'd finally have to sit down and talk to her.
It comes in packages of three. It's like three 12-ounce bottles of olive juice. Because I'm tired of having empty. You know what? I have olive jars in the fridge.
I just realized, let's stop having this conversation. Okay. Not only because we're a sports talk radio station, but because I know this is probably the time my wife's listening, and now I can see her going to Amazon or the stupid olive juice for a stupid martini.
Why? It's good.
Do you drink olive juice straight or only with the martini?
Only with the martini.
So you wouldn't have it straight?
Like, no, I wouldn't just drink a glass of olive juice. No.
Come on.
And I'm putting like a shot of olive juice in the martini. It's
nobody
not like I'm...
drinks olive juice straight.
People might. I mean, if you're going to put it anyway in a drink as like an accent or an accent, then I think that's fine. I was wondering. I was curious.
Okay.
It's okay. But no, I don't drink olive juice straight.
Well, anyway, I started this on Fireworks Night, Citi Field. Yes. It is the return of Kodai Senga tonight.
Yes.
Which should have all Met fans juiced. Not olive juice, just juiced in general.
Yeah.
Overall, we're going to be in a six-man rotation here with Kodai Senga. I'd be interesting on his innings limit and all of that. I think Met fans should be clearly excited. I think Senga ultimately... you're going to get the freshest part of him. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, he's been out. So I always think about that when a pitcher...
you're going to get the freshest part.
But think about it. The best baseball, once Senga gets going, is going to be right in a playoff push.
No, he should be midseason form. Plenty of...
should not be worn down.
But I mean...
huge positive.
The problem is just he's a six-man rotate. You know, he's better on that extra day.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just what it's been. So,
but you
I
know
mean,
the deal going in. And you navigate that.
Yep.
Also... off last night's game, as we go in here, Mets Braves, and I wonder if there's any carryover to this. With all due respect, I think Francisco Alvarez, I've said this, and people looked at me like it was a hot take, I think he's going to steamroll and in the next 15 years become the face of the Mets, and I think ultimately will go down as the best Mets catcher passing Mike Piazza because he'll have a longer run, and I really do believe that. Okay, I know that that's foreshadowing, but that's how good I think he is.
Okay.
Last night, he was a bit of a baby.
I tend to agree a little bit. I mean, the guy, Liriano, right? Immediately went to apologize. He's dropped his shoulder. When you're going to run into someone, you kind of, it's like one of
it's
those.
It's a baseball
like,
play.
It's not even just a baseball play. It's like an inert, like you don't just run straight into
he didn't
somebody.
Truck
you
him like, over.
No, you kind of like defend yourself
and
protect yourself a little bit.
I thought Alvarez's reaction for a young guy, and I'm sure he would like to have that one back.
Yeah.
That to me rubbed me the wrong way because I think higher of Alvarez, frankly.
Yeah, I agree.
Tough catcher, something like that. I thought that was too much.
But listen, sometimes you get hit and you just you don't think.
And
he didn't like getting hit. It's just one of those things. But I mean, for Piazza, the only thing I'll say about him is he is great. He's so much better defensively than, like, that was the thing. Oh, we know he can hit, but is he good enough defensively? He's almost better defensively than he is an offensive player, and that's my only issue with him. My only issue is there are dramatic ups and downs. He's got to be a little bit more steady, but yes, I agree. His impact on winning with this team is enormous.
And now I've been kind of labeled the gambling guy on the show. I do stuff for BetQL inside our company, host Sunday mornings there with Pat Boyle.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of this in the chants, and I get it. The idea that Francisco Lindor is going to be the MVP of the National League, with all due respect, I totally respect everything he's gone on, and he's put the Mets on his back, and not being an all-star, all of that. Don't be silly and go to your betting apps and bet Francisco Alvarez, I keep saying Alvarez, Lindor to win MVP at 25-1 right now. Shohei Ohtani is so far and away the favorite, and we are living in a New York bubble if you think Lindor is the MVP of the National League, and not for nothing. The knock on Lindor's whole career has been what? Extremely streaky. When his lows are low, they're low. And like we talked about, baseball's a roller coaster. We've seen it with the Mets and Yankees this year. With all due respect, Lindor is going to hit 2 weeks this year, if not three, towards August, September, where he goes in the skids and maybe the Mets lose as part of that. And that doesn't mean they won't make the playoffs or anything like that.
Right.
But I've seen a lot of this, and Evan talked about it yesterday. Lugie's talked about it. Don't waste your money on Lindor MVP. That is what it is not going to happen.
No, I completely. He's thrusted himself into the conversation. We say that, and that's true. But no, he would have to. I mean, he's going to cool off a little bit. Probably there's still another 58 games or something like that to play. I don't think he's going to be like this. And you're right, Ohtani is just on another level.
Yep.
I mean, I agree with you. He's not the MVP, but he's been unbelievable,
unconscious.
I mean, this is the best we've ever seen. This is the best ball he's played in his career.
Unconscious, and you know he's played good when you go. It's the best ball he's played in his career.
Yeah,
very old timey of you.
Yes,
Don and Mawa. Don, what's up?
It's Mawa.
Oh,
boys, how are you?
Good. Don, how are you, Don?
I'm good. Just driving around. I'm a big Yankee fan. I'm frustrated like everyone else. You know, people saying they don't like the GM, which I'm not a big fan of either, but. I had a different idea. I bet you guys didn't even know this. Did you know that the only team in baseball with a non-yellow foul pole is the New York Mets, who just destroyed us? So maybe we take some of the mojo from those Mets and we change the foul poles in the Bronx.
Don, I can't even tell if this is a prank call. I've never thought about it in my life.
Yeah, they're orange, right? In Citi Field, yeah. So they're
I never
orange.
Even thought of the color of a foul ball.
I didn't think of it until he just said
immediately,
it.
Immediately, I was
right.
Like, wait, are the Red Sox red with their foul ball?
No, they're yellow. They're definitely yellow. And he might be right. The Mets are definitely orange now that I think about it.
Of course, the Mets are orange.
Yes.
And most other foul poles are yellow, just like goalposts in football.
But what he's saying is every team is yellow.
That the Mets are the only one.
That feels like a quirk I would have heard about before.
No, I think that's correct.
Is it correct? Think it's correct.
We'll do some research.
I'll do some research, but based on memory, that's correct.
This is the best part about that call.
Yeah.
It is either an unbelievably great nugget.
Yeah.
Of course, it means nothing.
Yeah.
Or we just got pranked with the most nonsensical prank that isn't even that funny.
Yeah, no, I mean, want to take the mojo and what? Make blue? What color should we paint the foul poles at Yankee Stadium? I didn't get his point. They are yellow.
How about yellow?
How about that teal, that teal color Statue of Liberty teal color that Aaron Judge has been wearing around his arm for the past, two
months. Funny you say that.
Yeah.
Because if you talk to some older Yankee fans, I've heard a lot of.
What?
What's going on with Verdugo's cleats? All right? That's not a Yankee. All right? You don't do that because he stinks.
Yeah.
Judge comes up, same color on the elbow pads.
Nobody cares. No, and he's draped in it. His elbow pads, his elbow guards are all that color.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I said. It's the Statue of Liberty. It's a Nike thing.
Oh, okay. So maybe they're Nike athletes?
Yeah, he has a contract with Nike.
I don't follow those things.
Well, I'm just telling you.
Verdugo does?
No, Judge does. I don't know about Verdugo.
Okay.
Judge has a deal with Nike.
Oh, that's cool.
Remember he came out with that picture with like the rings, right?
Oh, God.
Wasn't that the big thing everybody was pissed off about? He took the Jordan picture?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so he's with Nike and Jordan, and that's like a Nike thing.
I don't care. That's cool. Yeah, just keep the uniforms where they are. Tony in Deer Park. Tony, what's up?
Fellas, let me start by, you guys are my guys, you two. I love you guys. I listen overnights when I can. I listen to Morash. We're like football guys. We're Long Island guys. I'm with you guys.
Oh, thank you.
So I get in my car after work today, and I put you guys on, of course, and you're talking about potatoes. You're talking about potatoes.
Yeah,
we were.
Then I go home. I say hello to the kids, say hello to the wife, blah, 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 and then I put it back on. And you're talking about blue cheese crumbles, and my father-in-law is cooler than your father-in-law. This is your shot for the top, guys.
Tony.
This is it.
Tony.
This I'm
gonna
keep you.
And if I'm going to go down, I'm going down with my blue cheese olives.
Tony, I'm going to explain something to you, okay? We are WFAN Sports Radio. We are in the sports and entertainment business. If you have tuned in and all you heard was potato and blue cheese olive talk, I'm sorry, you called us at the wrong times. It's been 95% sports, the entertainment stuff. And I got to be honest with you, Tony. If we blow the shot like C-Mac said, so be it.
Yeah.
I'll punch tickets on the Long Island Railroad.
I'm going down with martini talk and potato talk. I'll live with it. I mean, it brought out some real gems. The fact that you think 20 million people live in this country is something
that...
Yeah, no, you weren't just wrong. You weren't just wrong, okay? You were beyond like the realm of a suitable guess for that question. But that's okay.
I've never thought about it.
No, I guess that's fair. I guess.
No,
I guess. But I'm just saying, you haven't been told there's 300 million people in the country?
No, you'd be surprised how little I've been told.
No, I know. Hey, listen.
That's all.
All right. But yeah, no. But listen, a million potatoes is interesting. The baked potato. I got a bunch of baked potato stuff. People love the baked potato
People do love the baked potato
talk. That's it.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt about it.
What are we going to talk about? The Yankee trade deadline over and over?
Chris, not for nothing.
Yeah.
You and I grew up, same era. Listen to Mike and the Dog. We love that show. My favorite radio show of all time.
Absolutely.
I don't know how you feel. There are two things that stick out to me from my childhood and growing up into adolescence, listening to Mike and the Dog.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite Mike and the Mad Dog stuff was non-sports.
Yes.
I loved the movie breakdowns.
No doubt.
The Sopranos
Some of the great
breakdowns.
Moments, yeah.
Some of the great moments.
Yeah.
The non-sports moments were when Mike and the Dog were the best.
No doubt.
And point number two, you know when they were also the best? When Mike would make fun of the Mets and the Jets, or Dog would make fun of the Yankees with all that stuff. And now people, you ever notice that the listeners of the fan bases now, more than ever, I don't know if it's a generational thing,
Are
more sensitive. When WFAN was at its best, it was when hosts were trolling the teams in town.
Of course. And not only that, like I get, you're a Yankee fan, stop talking about the Mets. I'm like, well, like all of a sudden I know we've become more associated with our fandoms because we lean into it a little bit. Which is fine. But like, yeah, you're right. Not only like can you not have a little fun, but it's almost like everything you say you're not taking as if it's, I genuinely feel that way. It's always trolling. It's always, it's like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. And look,
but,
I mean,
yeah, I agree. And even Mike Solo, like, I worked with Mike for a long time. I got to tell you, some of the best shows was, you know, Mike with Harambe, the gorilla. And even when we're waiting for the white smoke from the Pope, like those moments, the cultural moments of Mike Francesa and Mike and the Mad Dog talking about different things was absolutely, of course.
And the percentage of heat talking about that to some of the stuff we talked about remains the same.
Yeah, I agree.
WFN is not as changed drastically as the listener likes to make it out to be. They're just grumpy. 888-808-1019.
It's you. It's not us.
That's right. Damn it. And you know what? Just for that, I have three sports calls on the line and one non. We're taking the one non.
There
Eddie
you
and
go.
Beth Page. Eddie, what's up?
Hey, how are you?
What's good. Up, how you doing, Eddie?
Hey, Mr. McMonagle, I became a big fan of yours when you said if somebody asks you if you want ice in your martini, you walk out of the bar.
That's it. I've been to restaurants. I don't walk out of the bar, to be fair. I literally order something else. I say, forget it. If they say to me, do you want that on the rocks or straight up? I go, you know what? I'll just have a rum and Coke, like, or whatever. I don't know.
That means you're not a bartender because not a lot of people know what a dirty martini is, and you describe it to a T.
Yeah.
I love dirty martinis. And the other thing, I've got to ask this gentleman here, is this Loogie or who's the other guy there?
Eddie, you got to go. 888-808-1019.
You couldn't even.
You don't know who I am, get lost. Loser. Tyler in Yorktown. Tyler, what's up?
Hey guys, how's it going?
What's up, Tyler?
What's up, Tyler?
So we just wanted to ask you. So with the Jeff McNeil playing well recently, how do you think his value will go up, and if the Mets can get any pitching?
I don't think McNeil's getting traded now, Tyler.
I know. I mean, listen, it's gone on long enough now. And again, I know they have a million things, and typically, I think sometimes you can have too many things.
Yeah.
But Happy Jeff is a thing. I know. I honestly believe it. And I think I know the instant thought was a couple games into this hot streak, well, hey, up in the value, we can move him. But right now, I think he's too good. I think, and he could mean, like, let's play this out. I don't want to move anybody.
Well, not only that, Chris, here's the thing with trading Jeff McNeil. Unlike some of these guys we've mentioned on one-year deals, mainly like JD or Severino, which we all know are not going to get traded now, Manai, et cetera. Jeff McNeil, beyond a 1 year here.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, the versatility. You need to look at the Yankees right now. I don't want to do the Met-Yankee comp constantly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The depth is a major issue.
Yeah.
Anybody gets hurt in September after this deadline, Jeff McNeil could play the corner outfields, could play second base, could be third base. He protects you if you have your other nine guys go and Marte comes back against any other injury. And that's a significant upgrade than most of what you get in Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
So even if Jeff McNeil isn't what he was a couple of years ago, batting champion, anything like that, at this point, like you're right, Happy Jeff, hitting Jeff, you almost have to keep him on the team because now you've seen the good of him again, plus the versatility of position play.
No,
and that's something you want on a playoff
team. Agree. Totally agree. I'm not messing with Jeff right now. I'm just not. And I've been down on him. I've been clamoring to get rid of him. He's been that bad. But right now, it's been a different world.
Dan in Morristown. Dan, what's up?
Hey, fellas. How you doing today?
What's good,
up, Dan? How are you?
I just want to bring up the fact that you guys are both complete homers.
Okay.
If Alvarez was a Yankee, you guys would be praising him all show. Oh, look what he did. He stuck up for himself. He's a leader by showing that he's not going to be pushed around.
Dan,
you guys have how many hours? Let me finish, Morris.
No, Dan.
All right, relax.
You know what, Dan? I'm not the loser. Get lost. You know how you know you're wrong? What the heck did we just do for the last hour and a half? Brian Cashman won't make a trade. DJ LeMahieu stinks. Alex Verdugo shouldn't hit leadoff. Look, I get it. People get really defensive over their teams, and they don't want to hear a fan of another team call out a player.
Yeah.
All I do, now, Chris, maybe a little different story.
Oh, okay.
I crush Yankee players left and right.
Yeah.
And if Austin Wells reacted that way to a guy simply making soft shoulder contact, because I am fair, you don't have to believe it, be the first one going, Austin, you overreacted there.
Yeah, not only that, you want to mention what I don't do. I killed the Yankees for being ridiculous and soft and feeling like they had to retaliate against the Orioles. I thought the reaction
to
Judge getting it. No, I disagree with you. The reaction, and you can maybe trace this all back to that, by the way. The idea that they had to retaliate because someone threw an inside pitch to Judge that happened to hit him in the hand, I thought it was ridiculous and petty and stupid when they've hit Baltimore more than the Yankees have been Baltimore. So the idea that we would be praising someone who He got ran into, the shoulder dropped a little bit, and immediately the reach out of like, my bad.
By the way.
Like, immediately, and still we're mad.
Two other points on that. Siri last week, walking slow around the bases.
Yeah.
I remember specifically saying to Evan in the office, and I said out loud, you're not for nothing, he shouldn't be doing that, but we had that idiot Verdugo doing that a week earlier when he slow walked around the bases, and it annoyed me.
Yeah.
You acted like an idiot. On top of that, just shows you selective hearing. Before I uttered the words, Francisco Alvarez overreacted.
Correct.
I projected that Francisco Alvarez will be a better Met all-time catcher than Mike Piazza. That's how much I think of him. But I'm a homer.
Yes.
But I'm a homer. Mike Piazza walks on water in this town, and I think Alvarez is that good.
Yep.
But I'm a homer.
Yep. That's literally what we were just talking about.
Get lost. Carlos in Bergenfield. Carlos, what's up? I love when I prove people wrong.
I just wanted to thank you guys and say that I wish you had another hour because I'd rather listen you guys talk about baked potatoes and the variations of potatoes than to hear about the Yankees for another second.
Carlos, are you a Yankee fan or a Met fan?
I'm a Yankee fan.
All right. What's your favorite potato? You like a yam?
I get old school baked potato, man. Old school baked potato.
You're a baked potato guy?
A Yukon Gold?
Is a yam a potato?
Okay. Yes, it is. It's a sweet potato.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah, that's true. You're right. I'm sorry. You're right.
What is a regular baked potato? Is it a Yukon Gold?
I don't know. Just an Idaho potato. I don't know.
Idaho has a lot of potatoes. I've been there. Okay, there's a whole potato.
Yeah, I know. You've been a big Idaho guy.
Idaho loves me.
Idaho loves you.
And if you ever go
you're bigger in Idaho than Stu Gatz.
You know what? I am. You hear that, Dan Le Batard? Stu Gatz is the second most famous personality. Go to Boise, Idaho. Ask him. You know Stu Gatz or you know Sean Morash, a.k.a. Moraz? It's me. Stu Gatz.
Do you keep, speaking of monikers, do you keep the Moraz thing here?
It's gone? I ditched it.
Ditched it.
Actually, it was a Spike Eskin thing. The moment he wanted to hire me to leave CBS Sports Radio here, he said, you got to do one thing, ditch the nickname. And I was all on board. I didn't even like my nickname.
Right.
I played into it.
Sure.
But no. Yeah, even people call me now, I'm like, it's not me.
It's not, yeah, brand new man.
Somebody you used to know.
Yeah.
Go TA.
Yeah.
Somebody. And there, you were about to sing there.
I was. All right. Did a little bit of it.